So we continue in Shara Tshuva, in the Heilige Chayvus Lavavus. And last week we were learning the four things that are ma'akev is a tshuva. And Chayvus Lavavus in Perek Zion wants to make a very strong point that what's makiv our tshuva is our lack of a sense of proportion in what our averis are. And we do averis which we consider to be small and therefore insignificant, but actually they're very big, because as he says, even if it appears halachically to be not so big, but you have to look at the goydel hametzaveh. You have to look at the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shalom, who is the commander who issued this command. And by defying the Rabbeinu Shalom, even in a small way, that is a repudiation of his command position, his mastery. And even a small averi makes a point to say it's like a infinitesimally small strand of silk, which is originally comes out of the mouth of the silkworm, out of his saliva, which has no body and consistency whatsoever, and that minuscule strand, that the wisp, looks like absolutely nothing, but if you will double it and quadruple it and make many plies and folds, it becomes a very strong cord and a rope. So to a little avera comes very, the person is locked into it. And we're stuck. Then he says another point, even a small avera, and even is done besaser in privacy. So Dafke, again he says, Al Tavid al Katnas Avera, El Abeit al Gedulas Hashem Shechatosalo. Dafke, because you shouldn't look at the small size of the Avera, look at the big size, so to speak, of the Rabbeinu Shlomo, who's Mitzaveh. And Dafke, he said, when you do it privately, and you rejoice over the fact that no people see your sin, but that's exactly a cause for mourning, that you are more afraid of people than the Rabbeinu Shlomo, and that you don't care that Hashem sees, and all you're worried about is people. So when people come, you make a nice bracha, you make a nice Netilas Yadayim, but when you're in privacy, you don't. And the privacy of our minds, we have all kinds of evil thoughts, evil ideas and plans and reveries. So you should know that Dafke, the things that you think that are forgotten, are not forgotten. So I just want to look into this for a moment, because yesterday we had the Teichacha, and the Ramban speaks about the fact that we have two Teichachas in the Torah, one in this week's Parsha B'Chukaisai, and one in Kisavo. And the Ramban says that B'Chukaisai refers to the curses that befell the Jewish people at the destruction of the Bayis Rishon and Golos Bavel, and Kisavo is Bayis Sheni. And really, it's a Zohar. The Zohar HaKadosh says this in Paras Kisavo. We were learning it on Thursday night, but it requires more explanation. The Zohar says that the Chavraya had this problem. How come at the end of the Tochacha in B'chukosai, it ends off on a positive note? Hashem says, V'afkam zos, b'yosam erveveyam, le'ma'astim, le'galtim, le'chaloysam, le'afrabrisitam. If you notice, the Tocha in yesterday's parsha has a positive ending. Hashem promises not to forget us. Whereas the Tochacha in Kisavo, it's just all curses. There's no positive ending. There's no nechama, there's no consolation, there's no comfort in the end. So the Zohar in Parsha Kisavo, he says that in Bechukosai, there were Tlosno train Kroy. In Bechukosai, there were 32 psukim. I'm sure you counted them yesterday while you were listening to the Kriyas Torah. Mashenkein, in Kisavo, you remember from last year, that there is 53 psukim. So he says, and this is the Lasha, that in Golos Kadmoa and Bayis Rishon, in the first Golos, the Yidden over Yisrael, Inun, Shevilan, Sesimen, the Sisra. Yidden were over on the secret pathways, and since they did it in secret, it wasn't such a big Aveira. And therefore, Izgali Chayvayu, their sin was revealed to them, Izgali Kitza de Lahon. And the Nevi'im revealed to them how long they'll be in Golos, which was 70 years. There's a big confusion as to when the 70 years started and ended, but 70 years. Mashenken, in the Nechama of Bayesheni, Ovi Yisrael Chamshin Atlas Parshias Urchim Vizgalion. The Yidden were over on 53 parshas of the whole Torah. The reason why it's 53 psukim is that corresponds to the 53 parshas in the Torah. And they were over it, Begolui. These are the Drachim Hagluyin. And therefore, since they were over on the Torah, which is Begiloi, so therefore, their sin was hidden from them. And the length of the Golos is Sestayim Kitzayu. And therefore, there's no Nechama. Because it's Hashem, because they were pagim in the Torah, which is Begoloi, the 53 parts of Begoloi, the punishment is that everything is hidden from them and there's no hope. The situation seems hopeless and their fate is sealed and in secrecy and oblivion, and there is no happy ending in sight. That's what the Zohar says. Now, the Zohar obviously is a stira to the Gemara. It's mamish against the Gemara, which I know you're all familiar with. Everyone knows the Gemara. Yuma Daftes, which appears to say the exact opposite. That's why I need your help. The Gemara Yuma appears to say the exact opposite. And the Gemara Yuma supports the idea of the Chavos Levavos. Because the Gemara says Yuma Daftes and Medveis. The Gemara says that, on the Testament base. So up to Gemara, Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Lazar, Damri Tarvayu, Rishonim, Shnezgala, Avoinam, Nezgala, Kitzam. He says, the Rishonim, and Bayis Rishon, that their sin was open, says Rashi, Nezgala, Avoinam, and Bayis Rishon, Lahayim, Machasim, Bishayim. The people in Bayis Rishon, when they worshiped idols, they did Gila Rayas, they murdered people, they did it openly. They didn't hide anything. So the Bayis Rishon, that their sins were open, revealed, uncovered. So Hashem made it open, revealed how long they'll be in Golos. This Gala Kitzam. But Achroinim, Shalom, this Gala Avoinim, but in Bayis Sheni, their sin was not revealed. Says Rashi, they big the Sheni, Rishoyim, Hayyub, Seser. They were, on the outside, they were big hypocrites. On the outside, they looked like Erlich Yidden. On the outside, they were holy rollers. On the outside, everything was fine and dandy. But their sins were inside, covered up. So since they covered up their sins, Hashem covered up their cates. In other words, there is no hope for them. Everything is, we don't know how long we're in Golos. We're here 2,000 years, a long time. We have no clue when it's going to end. We'd like to believe it soon. But there's been plenty of generations before us where the Yidden thought the Gula is coming, and it hasn't happened. So you see from over here that to do a sin b'seiser is much worse. Because the person who is religious on the outside and sins on the inside is mamash fooling himself. It's a very tragic thing. The person really looks in the mirror and says, I'm a good Jew. And he poo-poos and makes light of his averis. Bias Rishon, they at least were honest. They didn't averis. They looked in the mirror, they said, I'm a sinner. Then they might decide to do tshuva. Decide to do tshuva. They say, well, I got to do tshuva. I'm obviously an idol worshiper. I went to church this morning. I was Megala Raya's last night. And I'm a murderer. I do all kinds of terrible things. I got to do tshuva. By Hashem, I should do tshuva. Okay, no. I spoke a little Lashon Hara. Sinas chinam, come on. We don't really. If you ask me if I hate my enemy, I won't say I hate my enemy. It's not such a, it's a very subtle thing. I just don't like some of his deeds, etc. But not, I don't think I'm a sinner. I don't think I'm a Sony Yisrael because I hate my enemy. And I have all kinds of justifications. So bias Shani, since their sin was covered, the Geula, our ultimate redemption is covered and concealed. Which is what the Chavos Avos says, that the worst kind of a sin is the person who sins secretly. And the Zohar seems to say that bias Rishon, their sins were covered, and therefore they were only pagim in the secrecy of the lathe. That's why it's 32 psukim in yesterday's parsha. And therefore, since the sins weren't so bad, because they were covered up, but such a big chilul Hashem. So therefore Hashem revealed to them their final time of redemption. They gave Nechama, by Hashani, where they sinned publicly, and they were pagim in the 53 parshas of the Torah. So that's such a terrible sin to flagrantly, publicly flaunt the will of Hashem. So therefore Hashem punished us, that for 2,000 years we don't have a clue when the Golus is going to end. And there's no Nechama, there's no comfort. No comfort for us. Nothing to look forward to. We don't know if we'll see it in our own lifetime. So it seems to be a little bit of a stira. So I'm trying to, I need help to try to reconcile the two. And the only thing I can say, again, I asked a few wise men, but I didn't get a very strong answer from anybody. And I think perhaps preliminary pshat would be that I would say that really if you study the words of the Zohar carefully, it's not a contradiction. The Zohar is saying what they accomplished by their sins, not the nature of the sins, not the methodology of the sins, but rather what the result and the damage that was caused by their sins. So it's really not a contradiction. The Gemara in the Av Testament Beis Yom is saying it is. And by its reason, the people openly flaunted the Torah. When they worshipped idols publicly. When they worked Megalarias publicly. But the fact is, they were not hypocrites. They were cognizant of their sins. They said the reason is we have a tremendous Yetzirah. We know, we're sinners. We admit we are weak. We are foolish. We are weak. We don't have enough moral and mental fortitude to stand up against a Yetzirah. The Yetzirah overwhelms us. And actually, in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Taka said, let's get rid of the Yetzirah from the Zohar. The original door, the bridge generation, which came back from the first Golas, said, let's get rid of the Yetzirah from the Zohar. Everything changed after that. And Baal Shem was different because of that. But you see clearly, from the fact that they begged Hashem to get rid of the Yetzirah from the Zohar, those people said, look, we were destroyed in Bias Rishon by this. They said, we publicly sin Hashem because we're saying that we are helpless. We just give up. We need your Siyata Dishmaya. Oh, so therefore, the pshat is that they're saying that we didn't have enough Torah wisdom. We didn't have enough Seichel. We didn't have enough fortitude to stop the Yetzirah of the Tzar. So therefore, the pagam, the Gemara is saying that they're averred publicly, which is good, which is relatively good, because then they admit their weakness, they admit their faults, they're saying that they're helpless, so watch out, they're helpless. That means they didn't have enough of their hearts weren't filled with the chokhmah of the shvili deraisa, the lave of Torah. Lave means the fortitude, the power of Torah, the lave. The emotional and mental strength of Torah, the lay being the heart, being the strength to combat the Yetzirah, they didn't have. So their pagam was in their lay, which is Beseser. That's what the Zohar is saying. Their sins were public because they publicly admitted that our heart is weak. Our heart is weak, and the Yetzer in our heart overwhelms us all the time. So that's why in yesterday's parsha, the Teichacha was in Lamed Beis Sukkim, to say that it was their heart that was difficult. The sins were public, but their problem was inside their heart. And because of that, they were motivated a weak heart inside, and therefore they publicly sinned. So therefore Hashem said, you know what? I'm going to give you your moida, you know your sin, you recognize who you are and what you are, I will give you hope. Since you're publicly confessing that you're sinners, I will give you hope to help you overcome in the future. And I'll tell you when the goals will end. At the end of the goals, they came back and said, let's get rid of the eight czar. Very good. But by Yishani, just the opposite. They did not admit they were sinners. They said, we're Gansa Knackers. We are very powerful people. We have the eight czar under control. We are tzaddikim. And they talk of their sins were inside their heart. Sinas chinam is inside the heart. And as I told you, last time, they also had Gavaldi Chemdes HaMamon. They love money. Money is the secret idolatry. Money is the idol you worship, but it's in your pocket. It's in your wallet. You don't take it out. No one takes their dollar bills out and kisses them publicly. Some people kiss their lottery tickets, but if no one goes around kissing their money. It's the secret idolatry that we, in our heart of heart, it's the thing we really rely upon. We rely on our portfolio and our bank account more than the Rabbi Shlom. As long as I have money in the bank, I don't have to be humble before God. So therefore, the sin, they sinned privately, but the fact is that by sinning privately, since they sinned in their heart of hearts, they therefore destroyed the whole Hanhogas HaTorah. Because, you know, like the Chaznish says, you know, the Gemara, for instance, the Gemara says that, the 2,000 years that ended right after the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash were called Alpayim Torah. They called the 2,000 years of Torah. The 2,000 years we're in now, from the year 240 of the Common Era, right, till the year 2240 when Mashiach has to come. So if there's a lot of 11, well, we have Shmaya, just another, hold out Shmaya for another 137 years, another 237 years Shmaya. Mashiach is guaranteed to come in 237 years, the year 2240, that's the year 6,000, the end of this millennium, the sixth millennium, and now Mashiach has to come. So 240 is the beginning of the year 4,000 of our counting from Maaseh Bereishis. That's a little bit after the Churban, because the Churban really ended with the Churban of Beitar with Bar Kokhba. So 240 was the end, and that was when they finished, the Torah Shebaal Peh was written down, that was Mamash the Churban. So that's called Alpayim Torah, and the Chaznish says is that during this 2,000 years afterwards, Torah is not the same. During the 2,000 years of Torah, from when the Torah was given to Sinai in the year 2448, and the year 4,000, everything worked out pi Torah. For instance, you know, the Gemara says that when boys are born, they're born with their heads down, and when girls are born, they're born with their heads up. That's how they get born, the Gemara says in Nida. How does it really happen, Dr. Tannenbaum? OB in residence, what? Everybody's head down. The Gemara says only boys are head down. Girls are head up. Not only that today. Or a million phenomena. All the medicines of the Gemara don't work today. It's us to even try them. The Zecharim has even used the Gemara's medicines today because it's not going to work and you'll make fun of the Gemara. And for instance, the biggest proof is the Chazanish says, the Gemara says, Trefele Chai, an animal which has a perforation of the lung or a perforation of the brain or other trephas or a human being with those will not live more than 12 months. And today you can live a long time with such trephos, with such congenital failures. And you can live a long time, more than 12 months. The answer is because during the 2,000 years of Torah, the world worked alpi Torah. And whatever the halachas said, that's how it was in the world of nature and biology and pharmacology and medicine. In every way. But today, the world is no longer working alpi Torah. Because the Torah was nivgam. What happened? The Torah was corrupted. So that's what the Zohar is saying. The people of Bayi Sheni, the Gemara says in Yuma, their sin talk was a hidden sin. And the hidden sin says the Chayv Levavos is a worse sin than an open sin. Because hidden sin, we believe that we're really tzaddikim, and we're in denial. And we deny our hidden sins. And we look in the mirror and we think we're just fine. And the hidden sin, I can't be a tzaddik, I'm such a tzaddik, how can this be a sin? It can't be true. I didn't speak Lashon Hara, I didn't hate anybody, I had no sin in them. I didn't deny, question God. I didn't, my bitachon wasn't weak. How can it be? I look in the mirror. I'm such a tzaddik. Look at me beard. Look at my payas. Look at me. I'm such a holy Jew. I'm such a wonderful person. So therefore, because the sin was hidden, that was a real deep sin. That's a deep sin. And that sin, therefore, emanated outward and was pogame and corrupted and ripped out the strength and it emasculated, so to speak, it emasculated the power of the Torah to master over our lives, and the Torah no longer has the power that its dictate the laws of nature in an open fashion. Torah still runs the world, but not openly. So in other words, the laws of nature were controlled by the laws of Torah during those 2,000 years, but after the total Chorban, in the year 240, when that was the finished of the Chorban, and the Torah being written in that year, the Mishnah being written down by Rebbe in that year, again, was a corruption of Torah, that itself was a corruption, because the Jewish people weren't the Madrega to remember it by heart anymore. So again, because of their inner weakness, therefore, they now had to write it down, and thereby bring Torah to a lower level, as it's no longer something in our hearts and our minds, but rather has to be written on paper. So therefore it's outside of us. And since the Torah is outside of us, therefore its power is weaker. So that's the Pshat and the Zohar. So therefore, since the Yidden, because they sinned inwardly, they were poking in the 53 parshas of the Torah on the outside, and therefore, since they corrupted the Torah has nothing, no words of comfort for them. There's no solace and consolation. In Parshat Yisavo, there's no happy ending in the Torah because they corrupted the Torah and they ruined the Torah, and therefore there's no happy ending for us. We don't even know when the ending is going to be. Who knows when Mashiach is coming? Could be it'll be Be'ita, and we still have to wait another 237 years. So that, I think, is the reconciliation of the Zohar and the Gemara. And actually, the Gemara itself continues and says that Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that bias rishon this gala avoinam, because they sinned openly, therefore Hashem openly told them that there will be an end to their galus after 70 years and will come back. Bias shen, where they hid it, Hashem hid the end. Omrei Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan's chavrusa, Rabbi Yochanan's brother-in-law, Rabbi Yochanan's talmid. Reish Lakish now challenges his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, and says, why? You're telling me bias shen people are worse? Adarabba. Achrayin Madifi, Afal Gav, the Ika Shibit Malvius Gaski Batayra. So Rabbi Yish Lakish says, I'll prove to you that the people in Baishani are better. Because even though they went into Golos, they're still learning. And they're learning in Golos, and there's Torah in Babylonia, which is the Shas Bavli, and there's the Bali Taisus in France, and in Germany, and people learning Torah, even Daf Yomi, even in the barracks of Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen. And we're in the wilds of Muncie over here, and we're still learning Torah. So I can tell me the people of Bayesh Shani were such bad people. We're in the Golas, and we're learning Torah, we're steiging away. Even though the Shebet Malch Golias, we're still learning. He said, Omer Lei Bira Toichiach, Shechazel Rishainim, Velechazel Lachrainim. So Rabbi Yochanan's response, they both lived after the Churban Bayesh Shani. Rabbi Yochanan's response to his erstwhile beloved brother-in-law, Reish Lakish, was, Bira Techiah, the proof, my dear brother-in-law, is in the Bira, the tower. The tower is the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt after 70 years after the Churban Bayis Rishon, and now we're long past 70 years. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we're living a few hundred years after the Churban, and it's still not rebuilt, and it's not rebuilt now another 2,000 years later. Bira, the proof is the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what he says, and Zakta Gemara, Shalom was Rabbi Lazar. Rishonim Gedolim Achrayim Gedolim. They talk against Rabbi Lazar. Who's better, the people of Bayis Rishon or Bayis Sheni? Rishonim Gedolim Achrayim Gedolim. Who is better, the people of the first base of Mikdash or second base of Mikdash? It would seem the people of the second base of Mikdash. They were learning and 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 learning. Mishnah and everything. Bayis Sheni was a lot of Torah. Bayis Rishon, a lot of idolatry. So who's better? Rishonim or Achrayim? He says, Tzenu Edechem Lebira. Look at the Bira. Look at the base of Mikdash. Base of Mikdash Techiach. The proof, Shloi Chazal Lano v'Chazal Rishonim, says Rashi. It came back for the people of Bayis Rishon, the Beis Hamikdash is revealed. For us big rabbis, big knockers, us Shas mentioned, the Bayis Sheni, it didn't come back, because we're just Shas on the outside, and the inside were Shkatzim. And they were Shkatzim on the outside, there were Jews on the inside. So don't be impressed with yourself, said Rabbi Yochanan. It's false facade, and the Beis Hamikdash proves. The fact is still Chorav, 2,000 years, Moskva Omer is there, the Beis HaMikdash proves who we are. That is the litmus test. It's still charev. That means inside we're charev, and all the stuff on the outside, it's a Purim spiel. So a fair little Purim, Rabbi Isai. It's just a ganz yar Purim by us. It's a ganz yar Purim. It's a whole year Purim. Because we have no clue what's going on inside of us. Inside of us, very vast, what kind of a maelstrom, what kind of a tzimis, a chalk. We have good stuff, we have bad stuff, we have garbage. We're just one big cesspool. The garbage, what kind of stuff is the cesspool? There's waste, and some good stuff falls in there. There's faltein. You know, we have all kinds of stuff inside of us. Good, bad. It's a big mishmash, a big. But you know, if you just one drop, or just one piece of treif of meat in a kosher pot, the whole pot becomes treif. So we lack kosher stuff in us, but you know, learn from Chizkashrus. Just put a couple of pieces of chazer in a nice pot of glot kosher meat, makes it all chazer. So inside there's all kinds of chazer. Says the Chavos of Avos, the main thing is makir of the tshuva is that we're not makir ain't the other makirim roya matzpuncha. We don't recognize. We have to wake up and start going through our inner subconscious and try to start plucking out all the stuff from inside. All of our attitudes, all our nasty prejudices, our angers, our hatreds, all kinds of doubts we have about Amunah, Bitachon, and all kinds of things that we have to start working on. It's a very difficult thing. You have to ask Yad to the Shmai. The only way to really do with them is so who's so smart amongst us? Who is so wise amongst us that we can make this courageous foray inward and truly make an inventory of what we are and what's going on inside? And the answer, Emma says, we can't do it. We have to learn Chavos Levavos. We have to be aware that inside of us there's a tremendous darkness, and of them we have to dive into the Rebbeinu Shlom for Siyata D'Shmaya. That's the only Eitzah. The only Eitzah is that we have to dive into the Rebbeinu Shlom V'taheli Beino L'yavdecha Be'emes V'tahelebeino liyavdecha be'emes. You have to say that. Go in the forest sometime. Everyone has a forest in the back of their house out here. I go in the forest and sit in the forest over there. What do you think of a forest in the back of your house? So you can go there and sing V'tahelebeino be'emes when no one's listening. I think you're crazy. So you go to the mikveh, put yourself down on the knee, and you say, Leiv tohor bro li Elohim. Leiv tohor bro is the Rosh HaTevis of Toval, of Tfilah. And bottle, the mevatel myself. Ah, nothing like a mikveh. Go into a mikveh, eradicate yourself. It goes into the heart. Leif tor, but we need to the Shema. Ourselves will never get inside. We cannot do heart surgery on ourselves. The biggest heart surgeon cannot self heart surgery himself. The biggest dentist cannot drill his own teeth. The biggest brain surgeon cannot do brain surgery on himself. Needs Yad the Shema. We don't have to go to anybody. It's good to, if you had a Rebbe, it's wonderful. If a Rebbe to teach you a Moira Derech, it's very good. But ultimately, Siyat Nishmaya. Everything is from the Rebbeinu Shlom. Everything is from the Rebbeinu Shlom. Everything. Tshuva, we learned from the Noam HaMelech last week. Get the daven, the Shvizach to hear a tshuva. Shvizach to have a Ruach Tahara. Shvizach to be a spirit of purity should overwhelm us. Once and for all, Rebbeinu Shlom, I'll be an Emes Yid. Emes Ruach Tahara. So outside, Shul, I'm shuffling and shuffling. Go home, I turn the TV. And who knows where I am? Who knows what other things I turn on? All kinds of garbage. Walk in the street. Who knows all kinds of stuff? Rebbeinu Shlom, please, once and for all, I'm tired of being a hypocrite already. I'm tired of living in the darkness and the seisr, Rebbeinu Shlom. So, medav hoven siyata d'shmaya. So the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us siyata d'shmaya, right, Rabbi Yisai. See, because you want to be metayer. So the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us siyata d'shmaya that the Congress made up a new thing in this country called Memorial Day. So you should remember this Rebbeinu Shlom. So my good friends, so here in Shar HaTshuva, Perek Zion, so yesterday we spoke about not being a sinner in the silence and the privacy of one's heart, and that's where it really it all happens. That the whole day we're churning, we have thoughts right under the surface of our consciousness, and we have to learn how to eradicate them and clean up our hard drive. In addition, the Chavos Levavos also told us, here, one thing we didn't get to, the fifth ma'akev is a tshuva, ma'abed, this erech ha-tshuva, is something that takes away from the entire value of the tshuva, when a person only does tshuva, a partial tshuva. Tshuva is comprehensive. To do partial tshuva, even a lot of aveiros, but to leave out others is no good. It's something that he does not say that it is worthless, but you, one who does a selective tshuva, has seriously undermined the efficacy of the tshuva. You just can't do that. For instance, a person who says that with God, he'll be good, ben adam l'makom, he says, but ben adam l'chaveiro, he has not repented in an interpersonal relationship, and therefore he continues to steal, lie, rob, hurt, insult, and speak Lashon Hara, and things like that. And therefore he says that has undermined the tshuva. And therefore Chazal say, Im oven, the Pasuk in Iyov says, Im oven biyodcha harchikeyu, v'al tashken v'yalecha avla. If there is iniquity in your hand, put it at a distance. V'al tashken v'yalecha avla, and do not allow avla, do not allow iniquity to stay in your tent. From this we learn that it's also to leave a Sefer Torah in the house if it is possible. It's an incredible halacha, actually. That if you have a Sefer Torah, it is usur to leave it around like that. Now, if we have a Sefer Torah, we put a gartle around it, but that's because maybe we intend to leave it for good, or fix it. But you can't leave a Sefer Torah. I'll leave a Sefer Torah. The reason why we put the gartle around the Sefer Torah, we're not using it, is not merely just to prevent us from making a mistake in using it. In other words, a sign wouldn't be sufficient. Put a sign on a puzzle. The minig is yours, but a gartle, I mean, it's locked up, is not here. It's out of bounds. Putting a sign on really wouldn't be enough. To leave in your house someplace in a drawer, in a closet, or in a shul, with me at the mamash, put a gartle around the outside, this is off, out. It's gewaltige zach. A Sefer Torah has 304, 805, let's get that straight, 304, 805, as if I counted it, 304,805 letters. Take my word for it? 304, 805, that's a lot of letters. And if one letter is cracked, one yud is missing, akuta shel yud, forget it, the whole Torah is pei, samach, vav, lamed, apostle. Why are we so makba on the Torah? Because we know that the Torah represents the Jewish person, the soul. And just that we cannot tolerate the least deviation and discrepancy in the text, that should be a lesson to us to dramatize how we should not tolerate the least discrepancy in ourselves. Now think about it, you find the psalm of Sefer Torah, everyone runs over, oh, wow, hoo, ha, ha. A little psalm in the Sefer Torah, maybe two letters. It could be the letters are perfect, just they're touching each other. When two letters touch each other, a negia, taka, the stama, it hits me right now. If you're missing a letter, the stama, that's a sign that there's a problem with the lamakom. Because every letter represents like the yisoides of our neshama. If you have two letters touching each other, there's probably a simon that there's some friction with the chaveiro. This is like the shemaya. That's a shot, if you ever find a psalm Sefer Torah, and hitting each other, ben on the chaveiro. Letter broken, or letter missing, that's ben lamakum. It's good. It's good. I have to check it out by Mekubalim. See if there's some validity to my, this insight. But, it's intolerable. You wouldn't do such a thing. When you're writing your Sefer Torah, on your agenda, Everyone's building houses and building new kitchens, and no one's building writing new Sefer Torah. No new kitchen for the new Sefer Torah. That's it. And Sefer Torah should be kosher. You check it out with the computer. And one little soul. So we should check ourselves. If a person has something wrong with my heart, I know I'm not thinking right. The thoughts that come up. I try to keep track of them to recognize my own hypocrisy. As I'm shaking over there and davening real good, I think of what's really on my mind. I say, if only they knew what's really on my mind over here. That's why I'm shaking so hard, to shake it all out. To shake out the shaker. I come one of the shakers. So, the harder you shake, the simmer the person's got big problems. He's got a lot to shake out. Let's give him a ton. But, we cannot tolerate the slightest soul. That's what tshuva is all about. The truth of the matter is, you see, our entire standard of measurement of ourselves, of performance, is in a human frame. But when it comes to serving Hashem, the truth is that we have to have a different standard entirely. It's a standard that we can only say it's just standard in the Chavos Levavos. It's not for beginners. It can only be said here. I'm not saying it, the Chavos Levavos is saying it. And that is that the Torah wants Shleimus. I dare say that we all daven Shemoneh Esrei a few minutes ago, and we heard this twice in the bracha, the fifth bracha of, right, Hashiveinu Avinu Sarsecha V'Kaveinu Makenu V'Sarsecha, the bracha of Tshuva. So that bracha we'll hear five times today. It's interesting, it's five times today. Shachar is twice, Mincha twice, and Ma'ariv once. Five times a day. So in a week, you're saying that quite a few times. Six times five is 30. 120 a month, approximately. It's a lot. Birkas Tshuva. I noticed, and lately since I'm always on the prowl for a minyan, so I have to daven svar a lot of times lately, because I've discovered that most Jews daven svar, and we Ashkenaz, the Ashkenaz is a minority, and most minyanim are svar, so whenever I need a minyan elsewhere, I have to end up davening svar. If I can't come here for some reason, like giving a shir or whatever, so I noticed, of course, there's differences in every bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. I haven't checked this out scientifically, I have to make a... But the only bracha that the svar is exactly like Ashkenaz is Hashiveinu Avinu Sarsecha. His mom is not one difference. Come to tshuva, you guys do tshuva the same way. I think it's the only one. As I might last couple of days to check it out. I haven't sat down with the svar in Ashkenaz. That's for sure, that the bracha of tshuva, there's no changes by svar in Ashkenaz. But it's the only one I have to make a little... I think it's the only one. Tshuva, we all do tshuva the same way. And it's got to be Hashiveinu Beshuva Shleima. Shleima. Shleima, it's not enough just tshuva, it's davening tshuva shleima. Vachzireinu v'tshuva shleima levanecha. As the Chavos Levavos says, if you don't do tshuva shleima, that seriously undermines the tshuva. Because, so therefore I'm saying, in human terms, 51% is also good. And it's called even entire Rubik Akula, sometimes you do a Basarov. But, even going Basarov, there's exceptions. You can't say, Mr. Bodenheim has ideas already. He figures, when it comes 1 o'clock Shabbos afternoon, that's it. He's getting on his golf cart. It was right already Shabbos. He kept Shabbos like about 15, 16 hours already. And Shabbos about 25 hours. So it's Rufa Kukula, right? And next time you go into the mikveh, don't go under all the way. That's a little too much. You might get too, go under till your chest and Rufa Kukula, right? You don't say Rufa Kukula but everything. And when you fill up your becher, you fill up the becher in Gantz, and then you can drink rov. But you have to have ruba b'toich kulo. You have to have rov from kol. Anyway, now as we say rov, you have to have a shleimus. When it comes to tshuva, it's a different standard. In human terms, a little bit is also good. It's fine. Yeah, even a little bit is good. And majority for sure is very good. But in the Torah standards, Hashem wants a Gantz heart. Hashem wants the whole heart. And ultimately, if it's not a whole heart, really, that's what me tell Shalosh Ma Balashma. Shalosh Ma means that I'm allowed to entertain in my heart my own personal egoistical desires, my own selfishness. The Torah tolerates not complete, but only amanas to become lishma totally. But it has to be me tell Shalosh Ma Balashma. The Torah does not tolerate that a person should say, I will remain as I am, that I am shalom lishma, and God should be very happy I'm doing what I'm doing, Rabbi. So yesterday I went to a simcha, the people weren't so religious, so I was happy they were doing it mostly good. And I was happy that the Bala simcha, at least she wore a tichel, and she covered up most of her hair, even though a big couple of inches were on. Fine, it's a good beginning. Embarrassed, fine, glad she dressed mostly tzniyazdik. I'm glad she dressed mostly tzniyazdik. I was happy. Because she's a beginner. And beginners we tolerate, but the goal is to get the shleimus. To say that it's good enough for God. So the mashal, of course, is that you're all
Ira, you have some workers, Ira? You have people working for you? Yeah, you got people working for you. Do you tolerate workers that you pay them, I know you pay them a lot of money, Ira, like, I know you're men, you get at least $50 an hour. So you tolerate men that work for you 31 minutes on the hour? And you're gonna pay them $50, you tolerate that? But you're not too happy. Ira, if you can find a guy who works for you for 60 minutes on the hour, you'd be happy. That's the problem today. It's hard to give mishalom like used to be. Used to be a mishal. That, you know, you tell them, would you tolerate a worker that'll work for you like, you know, 51% of the time? A worker's supposed to work 100% of the time. If he wants 100% salary, 100% benefits, supposed to work 100% of the time. Today it's a bislander. You're happy they do a little bit, they don't steal the rest. But, Rubo Kakulo, you're right. Rubo Kakulo. It's not a joke. But, on the other hand, gentlemen, I suspect that if you're going on your next American Airlines flight, you want to make sure that they did a full check on the plane. And they checked the whole plane and the whole engine. They checked every passenger for terror, bioterror weapons. You wouldn't be happy if they checked most of the people. You want to make sure everybody went through the metal detector. Because when you're talking about life and death, the next time they send you up in the Columbia shuttle, I'm sure you want to make sure that all the O-rings are okay and none of the styrofoam is melted. You don't want to take any chance that even one tile should be a little bit shaky. Because if you're going upwards in the stratosphere and beyond, there's no room for even the slightest deviation. And I'm not saying just to say cute to mashalom. We are ultimately trying to fly out of this world. The whole challenge of Olam Hazis, Hashem gave us a neshama from Shemayim that wants to get out of here. And the vehicle, the spaceship, the launch is our body. But the body's got to fly together with the soul. The soul is schlepping the body out of here. The body is schlepping the soul in here. And ultimately, we have to energize the soul with some Torah and Tefillah and Tzedakah that the soul should be strong enough to get the body off of this muddy, miserable earth. Get out of the mud and the muck. And to get out of here, you have to have full power. And you have to, if it's not full power, you're not going to get out of here. It's not child. I'll hold on. It's like, you know, it's like trying to get your motorboat off. You have this a million power hydrofoil, but you have it chained to the dock. If you start going, something's going to happen very disastrous. Either the dock's going to go, or the boat's going to go, or something's going to split, something's going to break. You got to let loose. You got to let the boat loose. So tshuva is cutting the ropes and cutting the chains that hold us down to this world. As Gabi, a tshuva shlema, says the Chavis Levavis. If it's not tshuva shlema, it's like having one psalm of Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah with one of the 304, 805 letters, even slightly damaged, is pasul. So to a neshama, us, with even one mitzvah, one midah, one aveira wrong, one mitzvah pogum, one aveira, one bad midah, is no good. We are pasul. We are pasul. In this world, of course, we forgive ourselves. We say, Rab, what do you want from me already? But in standards, God's standards, Torah standards, has to, we are a sefer Torah. If you want to be judged like a sefer Torah, fine. If you want to be judged like the weekly newsletter that gets thrown in the garbage, fine. That's where we end up. If you just want to be a newsletter, the newsletter is okay. We can tolerate a couple of typos in the Torah newsletter. That's fine. And the weekly newsletter from Panini Torah and three other jillion places that's scattered all over the place, we can tolerate typos, mistakes, a rip, something's gone, that's fine, because those end up in Sheamus. So if you end up in Sheamus, you want to be Sheamus, that's okay. If you want to end up in Olam Haba, then we've got this strive for totality, completeness. Now the Chavos Levavos tells us, and therefore he just concludes and says, tells us the Gemara in Tainus, says that a person, who Adam Sheyesh Biyado Aveira, a person who has an Aveira. And he confesses. Person confesses. That's us. So Sfar, that's a good thing. I like they do Dvidu, you know, that's good. They do the Sham the Bagadn every day. Some of them, at least by Shachar, so Sham the Bagadn Vidui. But to do the Vidu, I guess the Ashkenazim don't do that because we don't want Yoiv on this Gemara. The Gemara says if you're Mizvada, but you don't do anything afterwards to do tshuva, The vidu is like going into a mikveh, but you have a sheret, you have a dead rat in your hand. A filthy, dirty, dead rat. A sheret biyado. Tovel v'sheret biyado. You're tovel with a rat in your hands. A dead rat. Live rat is not the sheret, a dead rat. And therefore the halacha is,
even if he's tayvel in all the waters of the world. He'll be tayvel in the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, he'll go in a Mayan, he'll go in a spring water, he'll even go to Poland Springs. Can you imagine a higher level of purity than Poland Springs? It's a Polish Shavasar. What can be better than that? He'll be tayvel in Perrier, in Vichy waters. It's not going to help. The minute he throws it away, though, the tefillah helps. But it says in Mishlei, Umoide v'oizev Yerucham, the person who confesses and then abandons the chait, that person God will have mercy on. If we confess, Sham Nubagad Nubagadal, we'll do Bahab, and we'll do Slichas Yom Kippur Katan, which I highly recommend. Because if you, at least you do the Vida, there's hope you might continue and do tshuva. If you don't go to the mikveh, if you don't even try, nothing's going to happen. But if you do the vidui and you do the tshuva, then you went to the mikveh and you're not holding anything unclean. If you don't do tshuva, if you're still holding on to your old ways, what is the sham? Bagad. Bagad means I betrayed God. God's very good to me. You should put a lot of emphasis at the modem, Rabbi. Say, modem anach lach, shatu Hashem alakeinu. Right? Those lachon, as happened to Tosech, al chayeinu, musurim yadechol, and shoseinu, to his love, al nisecho, al nisecho, shuchol yam yamanu. Modem is a gewaltig tefillah. That's what to bow deep from Odom. Because we thank Hashem is so good to us. Day and night, Hashem is good to us. No one went to the emergency room yesterday, Baruch Hashem. Maybe you're in your car, it's traveling. No one got into an accident yesterday, Baruch Hashem. None of your little kids got into trouble. Taking something sharp, swallowing something poisonous, Rahman al-Islam. So many miracles happened to us since yesterday's davening till today's davening. Things are good, Baruch Hashem. Everyone's healthy. We have food at the table, we have a roof over our heads, our eyesight is working, Baruch Hashem. No strokes, heart attacks, Baruch Hashem. We're fine. It's a miracle. Moedim, so to thank Hashem, and we should be thankful. And instead of being thankful, let's make a list of all the things we didn't do right since yesterday, at 9:23 yesterday. What did we do in the last 24 hours? Were we faithful with Hashem? I mean, it requires a little thinking now. Think hard. To Hashem. Now we want 100% compliance. Don't say you're mostly faithful. Hashem says, listen, I gave you a full life. I didn't take one iota of life away from you. Your eyesight is the same eyesight. Your heart's the same rate. Your blood pressure is the same. Your pulmonary function is the same. Your cardiac function. Your neurological function is the same. I gave you 100% life, says God. Did you give me 100% compliance since then? If not, then perhaps you're holding a sheretz. And when you come to Olam Haba holding the dead dog, or the dead mouse, the dead rat, the dead snake, the dead lizard, so they launch in? Sorry, no lizards allowed. They don't say no Jews and no dogs allowed. Jews allowed, but only Jews unaccompanied by shrutzim. No shkutzim allowed. No shegets allowed. But they'll come to your mind, they'll say, you're a shegets. You're holding on to it, you're holding on to a shegets. You're holding on to your aveira. No shkutzim allowed. See the sign? No Jews allowed. No shkutzim. Great lechama. No shkutzim allowed. Only Jews. Jews only. We have to be a Jew only. A Jew and ganzen. Only a Jew. Nothing. No goyishkeit. No shegets in you. Moide v'oizev yerucham. These are the things the makam of the tshuva. And then the chavis above us here in Perek Ches. Can I just tell you the beginning because I have to end. But the opening words of the Chavos Vavos, the coming attractions for next Sunday, are the Chavos Vavos grapples now with the famous question. On the one hand, Chazal says, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, who is greater? A tzaddik gomer, an FFB, right? Or a BT? Who is a greater tzaddik? The FFB or the BT? And we pass, and the Rambam says that v'makim shebali tshuvaindim ain't tzaddik gomeraindim. In the place where the Baal Tshuva stands, even the greatest tzaddik cannot stand. There are some Baal Tshuva who surpass the biggest tzaddik, who was always a big tzaddik from day one, never sinned. On the other hand, there's another Mandama the Gemara disagrees. And obviously, there must be some kind of Baal Tshuva that can't possibly be as big as the real tzaddik. But there are Baal Tshuva who are, and that's a very interesting question. And that next week, Mr. Shem, the Chazal will answer the question, if we qualify, if we do Tshuva today, maybe you and I, we can become bigger, and I'll tell you, it's possible. I just want you to know there's hope for us. So make sure to be here for the formula, that we can be greater than Rabbi Yashiv. How do you like that? There's still hope for us. I hope most of us qualify. Some maybe not.
We'll see you next week. Who qualifies? Who doesn't? Stay tuned.